His name. Amen. Each and every one of our lives tell a story. And within that grand story of your life, there are these little stories along the way that ultimately, when you put all of those little stories together, make the great big story of your life. And within your life, those little stories, oftentimes they're made up of seasons or themes or times of your life. So, for example, high school. Right? That was probably a theme. Or when you're young and married, like newly married, there's a theme. Or maybe you had to overcome an illness, or you had to deal with some sort of a battle, some sort of illness or sickness. Maybe there was the death of a loved one or death of several loved ones, and that was a season. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe there was a season of your life where it was just crazy successful. I mean, everything you did, just amazing. Who's the guy that touched and it turned into gold? Midas. Of course, that didn't work out so well. So, but maybe successful, right? Or maybe there's a period of frustration or you know, where everything you try and do doesn't work and things just go wrong again and again. No matter how hard you try, it doesn't work. There's these seasons and themes within our life, these things that kind of come together and you can kind of segment it out. And we all have them. We all have a story. We all have stories to tell. We all have these seasons that we can begin to put together. And what we've been talking about during this message series, and the key thought that we've been looking at, is that the decisions that you make today will determine the story that you tell tomorrow. And the reality is in 5 years, 5 years from now, you're going to look back at your life, you're going to look back at this season, and you're going to tell a story about this season of your life. And the good news is that for a lot of us, most of us, we're going to be able to tell the story with some, you know, we're going to be proud of the story we're telling. We might be looking back and say, you know what, a few years ago I was going through some stuff or it was going really well and I made these decisions and we're like, yeah, look at what I did. Look at how I worked through that stuff. Now, unfortunately, there will be some of us that might have to look back at this season and we'll be like, not so proud of that part of my story. I wasn't making great decisions back there. But the decisions that you make today will determine the story that you tell tomorrow. And an important aspect, important thing for us to consider in those decisions is this idea or the reality of seasons or themes. That life takes on these different seasons, these different realities that begin to play. And one of the things that happens, one of the seasons that we can run into oftentimes is this idea of running into some obstacles or challenges. Where you're going through life and all of a sudden you start to run into a lot of things that are really difficult. You have to really push through. So maybe it's your job. Maybe right now you're at a job and you're like, I'm not sure I can go through one more day of this. I don't know if I can endure another day. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe there's a relationship that you're in right now and it has just started to turn south and you're starting to think, man, I don't even know if it's worth staying involved in this. Maybe there's a dream or a vision or something that you were pursuing, something that you're like, I'm going to go after this. And now you're starting to go, I don't know if we're ever going to accomplish that. I don't know if they're ever going to get, I don't know, is it, It could be that it's something that was very positive, something that you really, really wanted, that you thought, man, if I get that, that's going to be a good thing. You desired it and then you got it and now it's not very easy. It's a challenge. It's an obstacle. For example, you really wanted a baby. And now you got that baby and you love this kid. You're excited about it, and you're, man, they've joined your family, and they're all cute. Let's be honest. Even ugly babies are cute, right? I mean, you take an ugly human being, squish it up to this small, it's still cute, right? I mean, that's, you know, if you've got, if there's a baby, and somebody's like, oh, he's cute. That's a cute baby. If they're like, ah, cute baby, you have an ugly kid. Just so you know, like, cute baby just means it's a baby. It's cute. You can't help it. Cute, that's a good-looking kid. Now I just gave my secret away. Shoot. But babies are incredibly selfish. Have you noticed this? They only think about themselves, right? They sleep when they want to. They want to get fed when they want to. Swing me, hold me, put me down. Pick me up, wrap me in a blanket, more food, please, right? I mean, they just, honestly, the only creature more selfish on earth than a baby is a cat, right? I mean, cat lovers, they only care about themselves. The only difference, baby and a cat can claw your face off, but same, selfish. And if you're a parent and you're like, I want this baby, right? And now you've got the kid and it is a challenge. Man, we wanted this thing, and look at what we've got, and it's a challenging time. Maybe all of us, you know, at some point you wanted a new job, not me right now, but there was that point where you're like, I need a new job, I want a new job, and now you get that job, and those first couple of days you're like, oh, this is brutal, right? You're learning new systems, and you got to meet new people, and there's new expectations, and who is it that leaves the half-eaten tuna fish sandwich in the garbage that smells the place up, right? You're like, this job is great, but boy, there's some challenges, substantial challenges. How about a girlfriend? Young men, you're like, oh, this seems like a great idea, right? And there's some upsides to the girlfriend. And then there's that first time you have to tell your buddies, man, I can't hang out and play video games. I'm going to the mall to explore scented candles at Bed Bath & Beyond. I am so excited. It's tough, right? There's things that you want, and then it's not always that easy. There's these tough seasons. There's these challenges. There's these obstacles, and sometimes they come from positive things. Other times, they're not connected with positive things. Life just throws it at us. Most of the time, it's not necessarily connected with a positive thing. I've got a really good friend. He's been working for Boeing for years, working at the Everett Boeing plant, 10 minutes from his home. They came and said, hey, we're moving you to the Renton plant. You get to drive 45 minutes every day now. New location, new crew. Oh, that's hard. Last year, we had a family dog. This dog was nuts, dumb as all get out, ate something, lodged in his intestines. He died. It was not easy. Kids are still messed up about it. I mean, they're sad. Miss their dog. A lot of you are in financial struggles right now, having trouble just paying bills. And, you know, the economy took a turn and the job market's difficult. It's brutal. There's these obstacles in life that we try and overcome. There's these tough moments. There's these difficult seasons that can be so hard and put us in these situations that are so difficult to overcome. And in those seasons, one of the things that we have to discover is this, is that sometimes the best decision that you can make is to stay when it could be easier to go. Rather than just leaving in the middle of the difficult situation, deciding to stay. And without question, there will be times in life where it's time to walk away. When a chapter of life ends, when it's time to start something new, even good stuff, it runs its course and it's time to move on, whether it's a career or a job or, you know, you raise kids and eventually they get to leave, or there's things that are good. You know, you have a house and now it's time to sell the house, or there's a dream that you've pursued and now the time is over, or it's the pizza buffet, right? It's a good thing, but you can't stay there all the time. You got to go, right? Things come to an end. But more often than not, what we have to acknowledge is that the best decision oftentimes is to stay even when it would be easier to go. There will be times where the best decision is to go, this is not easy, this is not fun, but I'm going to stay the course when it would be easier to walk away. About 10 years ago, I shattered the bone in the middle of my little finger. And what they ended up doing is they put a pin through the bottom bone and then a pin through the top bone, and basically they put my finger into traction. And so, like, these pins were designed in such a way that they would be able to hinge around, or my finger should hinge around it. And so went through surgery, went back to the doctor, and he said, hey, how much range of motion do you have in your finger right now? And I was like, oh, I got about like this much. And he's like, oh man, we should have full range of motion by now already. We gotta get this going, otherwise it'll start to calcify around the pins. And so he's like, let me see your finger for a second. And I was like, okay, you're gonna take a look at it. Takes my finger and he starts to move my finger around these pins. I did not want to stay. I wanted to punch him in the face and then go. Literally, I was about to pass out. But in that moment, I had to stay. It would have been so much easier to go, but I had to stay. And what we've been seeing in this process is all of these different ideas. When we begin to write the story of a life that we want to tell, we've been seeing that one of the keys to that is where it is that we're looking, who it is that we're looking to help us write that story. Near the back of the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we see this. The scripture is going to be on the screen. It's in your message notes. This is what we hear from the writer of Hebrews. Chapter 12, he says this, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." When you and I take time, when we put the effort in to focus in on who Jesus is, when we focus our eyes on him, then we begin to determine and set a direction for our life and for the story that will bring a transformative effect to the destination of where we end up. If we'll take the time, if we'll focus on who he is and what he's all about, he will actually lead us to writing a story of our life that's worth telling. And when we put our eyes focused on him and we begin to allow him to provide direction, we've been looking at, through that lens of looking at Jesus, there's four decisions that we have to make. Four decisions that help us write the story. In the very first week, we saw that in order to write a story worth telling, we need to start. Something we need to decide to start doing. And a lot of us decided to start something. We committed to something, a new discipline, a new habit, a new action. Hopefully God is continuing to challenge you in that, and you're staying strong and you're keeping at it. Start something. Then last week, what we saw was that in order to write a story worth telling, we need to decide to stop something. Maybe it's a choice. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a place that you go. Maybe it's a TV show that you watch or how much TV you watch. Maybe it's a habit. But what we saw is that there's something that we need to stop. And what we decided or saw last week, it doesn't have to even be something huge. If we can just decide something small that happens again and again and again in our life, if we can just decide on something small to stop, it can have this huge impact on the story that we tell. And as you just described, today we're going to explore the idea that in order to write a story worth telling, we need to decide to stay. Talk more about that in a moment. And then next week, we're going to wrap up the series, and we're going to talk about the idea that in order to write a story worth telling, we need to decide to go. For you to do something truly significant in your life, there will be moments where you're going to have to take a faith risk, where you're going to have to jump when it doesn't look like there's anything to jump into, and God's like going, no, let's do this. No, God, what? What? No, I'm not sure I trust you. I want to stay here with what I know. And God's going to say, no, it's time to go. And there will be a time where you need to decide to go. Today, however, we're going to talk about how is it that we begin to look at when do we stay rather than walking away. And again, the reality is that a lot of us in this room right now, my guess is that many of you are facing something like this, a decision somewhere in your life where it's tough right now. I know enough of your stories in this room where right now there's obstacles that you're facing, and it would be really easy to just walk away. But the decision to stay is the right decision. And if you're not there right now, if right now everything in life is just going great and it's easy and there's no reason to walk away, it's just like, yeah, it's good. It'll change. Just wait. I promise you. It may be tomorrow. It might be next week. It might be in a month. It might be in a year. But at some point, you're going to hit an obstacle where you don't want to stay. And when you hit that obstacle, or if you're hitting that obstacle right now, my challenge for you is to ask, hey, Jesus, what story do you want me to tell? Jesus, what is the story of my life that you want it to be? I'm going to continue to focus on you. I'm going to continue to look to you. What is that story? Because so often it's so much easier to go than to stay. There's this tremendous example in the Bible of an individual that decided to stay rather than to go. There was this lady by the name of Naomi. Naomi had two daughters-in-law. Daughters-in-law? Yeah, daughters. I think that's, we wouldn't be daughters-in-laws, right? Daughters-in-law. Okay. Shows up in the story of, the story shows up in the book of Ruth. So Naomi's got these two daughters-in-law. She's got one named Ruth and another named Orpah. Now, when you hear the name Orpah, that might sound very close to the name Oprah, right? You've heard this? Actually, true story, Oprah was actually supposed to be named after Orpah. However, after she was born, somebody was writing her birth certificate out, and they misspelled her name, and Orpah became Oprah, which is actually an amazing blessing, I think, because I'm not sure how many fans there would be of the Orpah show. I don't know how many people are actually watching the Oprah Network, but Orpah, I'm not sure. So actually, an amazing example to stay, right? Her parents were like, we spelled it wrong. No, let's stay with Oprah. That sounds actually better. So you've got Naomi. She's got two daughters-in-law. She's got Ruth, and she's got Orpah. Now, they're going along in life, and all of a sudden, Naomi's husband dies. Oh, shot to the family. Shortly after that, both of Naomi's sons die. So now you've got these three ladies Three ladies all left without husbands. Naomi, no husband. Ruth, no husband. Orpah, no husband. And in this society, at this time, this is tragic. I mean, it's tragic when you lose your husband. At this particular, in this society, I mean, this is like almost a death wish, essentially. Like, these ladies don't have the opportunity to run down to Starbucks or Amazon or wherever and just, hey, I'd like a job, please. No. Ladies don't do this. It's almost, they are almost unemployable. There's almost no way for them to gain any sort of dollars coming in. There wasn't a man in their life to take care of them and provide for them. So essentially, these three ladies all together are now basically relegated to the status of beggars. That's their lot in life. Like, they're essentially lower than a slave or a servant. Servants or slaves can go earn dollars. They just have to sit around and beg for it and hope that people have compassion on them. So Naomi recognizes that if these two ladies, Ruth and Orpah, stay connected to her, their chances are even less. Because maybe if they kind of get separated from her, like she's kind of dead weight, if they can separate from her, maybe these two girls can find another husband. So Naomi says to her, these two ladies, he said, listen, you guys should just go back to your home. Go back where you came from. It'll probably be easier there. Go back and maybe God will provide something for you. Go find a husband. Go do something. Maybe it'll work out. So Orpah decides, you know what? I'm going to do that. Naomi's letting me go. The easy thing, the logical thing, maybe even what makes sense, like, is just to go. And Ruth decides she's going to do something different. Ruth decides she's going to stay with Naomi. Even though it'd be easier to go, Ruth says, you know what, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay with you, Naomi, and I'm going to make sure that you get taken care of. And Naomi tries to talk her out of it again. She's like, no, listen, you should just go. We read it in the book of Ruth. It says this, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Ruth is saying, listen, I'm choosing to stay with you and I'm going to make your God my God. This is the true God. I'm committing to him. I'm committing to you. I'm staying connected to you. It might make sense to go. It might be easier to leave, but the decision is I'm staying put. And it kind of, you know, for us, that seems noble. But you and I don't think we get how costly of a decision this truly, I mean, Ruth is kind of sealing the deal for herself. Like, she could probably, she's young, she has a shot at going out and maybe doing something. But essentially, she's attaching herself. She's saying, I'm going to stay with this woman who has literally no hope, no future. There is no chance. Naomi is done, basically. I'm staying. That's the decision she made. There were no promises of any future for Ruth. She wasn't going to walk away. She's like, that would be easy, but this is where I'm going to stay. So Naomi and Ruth, they leave where they're at and they go back to Naomi's home country. And when they get there, Ruth begins to go out into the fields. And what she would do is after the workers would go through and they would harvest the fields, they would miss some grain. And so anybody, beggars, people that didn't have a job, they could come behind the workers. And if there was anything left over, if they just happened to miss some grain or whatever, Ruth would pick the stuff up. She'd pick it up and she would take some grain home and they would be able to cook with that. Well, there was this particular field owner by the name of Boaz, incredibly generous and incredibly rich man who heard the story of Ruth, heard how she had come along with Naomi. And so Boaz began to say to his employees, he's like, listen, when Ruth is here, don't touch her. You guys better leave this lady alone. You lay a finger on her, I'm taking you out. In fact, why don't you leave a little extra grain behind? As you go, just miss some or drop a little bit. Like, let's help her out. She's in trouble. So one day, Ruth is there and she's doing her thing and Boaz happens to be there. And the two of them run into each other. And Ruth says, listen, I don't know why you're being so kind to me. What has caused you to do this to me? Says this, Ruth 2. Boaz replied, I've been told about all you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. Basically, what he's saying there is, listen, I've heard of all that you've done. I heard how you stayed with Naomi when you didn't have to. And then that very last line, basically where he says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. This is something that was done common in that area, where basically one person would speak a blessing over another person, where they would basically say, hey, may God do this for you. And essentially this blessing that Boaz has just given to Ruth, neither of them in that moment have any idea how big that blessing is going to be in their lives. Because there's this incredible, unusual circumstances and events that ultimately lead into Boaz and Ruth falling in love, finding each other, and through this crazy situation, they become married. And suddenly this girl, who had no future, who had no hope, who had made a decision to stay when it would have been easier to go, suddenly finds herself in this amazing relationship, ultimately becoming one of only two women that have a book in the Bible named after them. She stayed. Ultimately, we can trace the lineage of Jesus back to Ruth. Jesus is a descendant of Ruth. She decided to stay. Her life was completely changed because she didn't just go when it would have been easier, but chose to stay. And don't miss the power of this idea. Ruth didn't stay in the hope that God would bless her. Ruth stayed because she believed it was the right thing to do and believed that God would bless her for doing what was right. Not just because she stayed that God would be like, oh, I feel sorry for you. She did what she thought was right. And there will be a point in your life where you're going to come to a crossroads, where there's going to be a decision where you're going to have to decide, do I stay the course? Do I stay with what I'm doing? Or do I just walk away? Do I just give up on this, or do I do what I know is right and stay invested and involved in this? And the big question that we've been asking ourselves again and again each week, and my hope is that this is just rolling around in your heads, and I throw it at you each week, and my hope is that your heart and your head are really wrestling with this. But the question is, what does God want you to want? Right now, in this season of your life, what is it that God wants you to want? My guess is it's different for each of us. But there's probably some certain similarities. Because maybe for you, what God wants right now is God wants you to spend more time with your family. Maybe that's what God wants you to want. Maybe what God wants you to want is for you to want to help your family develop spiritually. Maybe what God wants you to want is for yourself to be spiritually fed and grow more. Maybe right now you're just not growing as a follower of Jesus. You're just kind of stagnant. Nothing's really happening. And God just wants you to have a thirst for him. Maybe what God wants for you to want is to stop going after something that you've just selfishly been pursuing and pursuing and pursuing. And God's like, nah, just surrender and just do what I want you to do. Follow my plan for your life. Maybe what God wants is for you just to stop living where everything's all about you and you're chasing all of the things that don't matter. Maybe what God wants you to want to spend some time serving and making other people's lives better. Keep wrestling with that. God, what is it that you want me to want? God, where is it that you want my life to go? And as life moves on, what God wants you to want, it's going to be refined. It's going to be modified. You know, like if you've got kids at home right now, what God wants is going to be different for you than when you're retired or the kids leave. Like it's going to change. It's going to modify. But God's going to continue to help you focus on that. And if you and I will take time and focus our eyes on Jesus, allow him to help us write that story, he'll reveal the direction. He'll reveal what it is that he wants you to want. But what is it right now, 5, 10 years from today? What is it that God wants you to want? And then the application that comes out of that is then, where does God want you to stay? Right now, where is it that God wants you to stay right now? Where are you invested? Where is it? Maybe it's hard, maybe it's difficult, but where does he want you to stay? Shortly after I graduated from college, I had the privilege of playing basketball in college, and each year, the college that I was at, they would have, the very first game of the year was they would have an alumni game. So any of the guys that had graduated in the previous 4 or 5 years, they would come back, form a team, and then they would play against the current team. So a couple years after I'd graduated, I was going to go back and play in the alumni game, and I was kind of excited. I was going to get to see my friends and get to play, And normally the alumni game, the guys would just show up and we just sort of manage ourselves, or they just kind of like, okay, who's in? And we kind of rotate in, and there was no coach. We just kind of figured it out and kind of old school, used old man tricks, pull shorts, that kind of stuff. Anyway, So we show up, and apparently that year, the coach that I had had the years that I was playing had retired the season before that. And so the decision was to let coach come back and coach the alumni team, which is kind of a great thing for everybody else. But when I played for this particular coach, he had determined at some point that I was going to be the source, or I was going to be the one that got to receive all of his frustration. And so for 2 years, I was essentially his whipping boy. Like, somebody else would make a mistake, I would get yelled at. The game would start to go south, somebody else was missing a shot, somebody else was making turnovers, somebody else wasn't playing defense, I would get pulled out of the game and he would yell at me. It was just like again and again and again and again. We would run in practice because Hudson's messed it up. I wasn't even on the floor. Again and again. So all of a sudden, I'm showing up at this alumni game. Now coach is in charge, and he yelled at me in the alumni game. The team starts to struggle. I'm on the floor. The team starts to struggle. Somebody else throws the ball out of the game, throws it right into the crowd. Somebody else misses a shot. Somebody else is playing defense, and coach is like, all right, get Hudson out. So suddenly, I've traveled 4 hours to play in this alumni game. I haven't done anything wrong, and I'm finding myself where I was for the last 2 years, sitting next to coach, mad at me. When you were giving me a scholarship, this was cool. Now you're not. So I spent the last 5 minutes of the first half sitting there with him mad at me. Thinking, well, maybe I'll get back in. Second half starts, 10 minutes. I'm still just sitting there with him mad at me. So I'm frustrated. I'm offended. I'm like, oh, no, you're not going to disrespect me. I'll show you. So I decided to make a fool of myself. Apparently, I should have just stayed. 10 more minutes left in the game. Just stay there. Just sit there. So instead, what I decided to do is I'm going to let everybody know how mistreated I am. So in the middle of the game, I got up from the bench, walked across the floor, and just left. Like, oh, what's Brent doing? He's just leaving. I thought, oh, I'm going to show them. I'm going to make a big statement. I'm going to go. I'm going to approach. Everybody's going to see how poorly I've been treated for the last years. They're going to know. I communicated, I'm a big baby. Sure, he was mistreating me, but who? No. Basically, I let his poor treatment of me break me down. He defeated me. I could have just stayed. Instead, I'd be like, oh, I'm so proud of me. Nobody mistreats me. I should have just stayed, swallowed my pride. Big deal. Be the bigger person. I don't have to have it my way, but instead I decided to go. I look back on that moment, what a fool. Just stay there. Sometimes we come to this place where the easy road is to get our own way and just go. When the difficult thing would be to just stay and listen to this soft voice of God that's just saying, hey, stay. I know you'd rather go. I know that seems like the right thing to do. I know, just in light of what God wants you to want, where is it right now that you just need to stay? In light of the story that God wants you to tell someday, what is the course that's going on where it might seem easier to go, but just stay? Maybe it's school. Maybe right now you're in college and, man, the classes are just pushing you and the teachers, you don't love them. Just stay. Don't quit yet. Maybe you've been fighting to establish some financial stability. You're like, let's just give up and go back to just spending the dollars. No, just stay. Stay with it. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's this church. Maybe it's sticking to a diet. Maybe you've started working out. Where is it right now that God is just saying, just stay? It's easier to walk away, but don't. Just stay with it. And rather than trying to figure out why we should stay, instead, let's look for just a second at some of the reasons why we shouldn't leave. Let's see why we shouldn't leave. 4 things to consider why it is that, where it is that, or what shouldn't cause us to leave. First is this. If what you're doing is leading to the story that you want to tell, where God is taking you, stay even when it seems difficult. If it's difficult, that's not a good enough reason to say I'm out. If your marriage is taking work right now, if it's difficult, yeah, it's supposed to be. Marriage is taking two very selfish people, putting them together and saying, think about the other person more than yourself. What? That's the call. It's going to be tough. Maybe your teacher's giving you all kinds of assignments and homework. You know, like, this doesn't even make sense. There's no point. It's difficult. Yeah. Situations are hard. Whatever, you know, it takes extra effort. It's not a bad problem if things in life are difficult. Working through those things, figuring out how to overcome obstacles, that's a positive thing. It's not enough reason to just say, I'm going to walk. Side note, if you're being abused, if you're in a relationship where someone is taking advantage of you, somebody that's an authority is taking emotional or physical or financial advantage of you, if you're experiencing something destructive where there's intentional damage going on, that's not difficult. I'm not saying that that's wrong is what that is. That's not a difficult thing where you've got to try and get through it. You might have to make the difficult decision to find a place that's safe. I'm not saying that's something to just sit there and take. That's not, and continue to be abused. You might need to talk, come chat with me and we can talk that through. But if right now there's a teacher that you don't, they don't like your essay writing style, yeah, that's difficult. Stay with it. If you've got a 17-year-old at home who doesn't listen to you and doesn't follow the rules and doesn't respect you, that's 17, right? Like, that's difficult. Stay with it. Stay invested in that relationship. Stay in it even when it's difficult. Difficult is not a reason to walk. Also, if it's leading to the story you want to tell, stay even if it's uncomfortable. I started attending this class at the rec center. It's called Group Power. And for 1 hour, it's weightlifting to music, and it's kind of sounds like girly thing. But anyway, it's hard work. Let me just tell you, like, for an hour, like, a bunch of different songs, each major muscle group, you are lifting to this song, whatever it is, and you're getting pushed in Group Power. It's very uncomfortable. Your muscles are exhausted. Your muscles are tired. And the ladies that are leading it are buff, and they outlift me, and it's embarrassing. But you have to work hard, and it's uncomfortable. Stay with it. Keep showing up. Eventually, it'll pay off. Going to counseling, uncomfortable. Not buying everything you want, uncomfortable. Watching less TV, uncomfortable. Volunteering, uncomfortable. Not always getting everything you want, uncomfortable, but not reason to walk away. Also, if it's leading to the story you want to tell, stay, even if it's not what others would do. Remember what your mom said about the bridge and everybody jumping, right? Many people are in debt. Many people are spiritually lost, work too much, willing to waste hours being lazy. I don't think what most people do is necessarily the reason to do anything. Don't let that be your criteria. Well, most people would walk right now. Really? You want to do what most people are doing? It's your story. That's not most people's story. It's your story. Lastly, if it's leading to the story you want to tell, stay even if it takes longer than you planned. Man, getting kids to be 18 years old takes longer than 18 years, I'm guessing. Or at least it feels like it, right? I mean, or take my parents, for example. They're still working. I'm not 18. It takes longer to get there. I mean, if you want to grow spiritually, it doesn't happen overnight. You got to keep working at it. If you want to become a mature spirit, it's going to take time, and you got to keep investing in it. Keep working at it. It's not like you're like, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, and tomorrow you got it all figured out. It takes time. It's not instant. It can take time. Don't give up just because it's taking time. Often when something gets difficult or when something is a process, it's going to take longer. It's not fun. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. It's going to feel like it's taking longer. Don't be surprised if it does. Stick with it. Don't walk away just because that would be the easy choice to make. Back of the Connect cards, our goal each and every week is to make you or give you an opportunity to think about what's your next step going to be. What is it that God's calling you to do based on what you've heard this morning? Where is it that God wants you to stay? What is the story that He wants you to write? So for you, maybe your next step is to be clear. You've been thinking about this for a couple weeks. Be clear. Think through, what is it that God wants you to want? Narrow that down. Maybe you're thinking about going when you should be staying, and maybe you need to get some advice from someone you trust. talk it through. Don't quit too soon. Maybe that's your next step. Once you quit, you quit. Don't quit too soon. Maybe you need to tell someone where it is that you plan to stay and let them hold you to that and encourage you even when it gets tough. Let's pray. God, would you give us the courage to stay? God, help us to see the story that you want us to tell with our life and to stay. Help us to be brave enough to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.